Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
Day number 22 of the trial of Karen Reed. And what a day it was. I want to know the exact moment things got real in the Karen Reed trial. It wasn't when the witness stumbled or when the defense raised eyebrows about conspiracies. It was when Judson Welcher, a biomechanics and crash reconstruction expert, took the stand and walked the jury through hard time-stamped vehicle data. You know, exciting stuff. And in this case, it surely is. And it just so happened to sync perfectly with the moment John O'Keefe's phone went dead. No fluff, no storytelling, just numbers, cold, digital, damning numbers. Exactly 12:32, 14 a.m. on January 29, 2022, Karen Reed's Lexus SUV accelerated backwards at nearly 24 miles per hour for over 50 feet. At the same moment, down to the second, O'Keefe's phone suddenly stopped moving. No more steps, no more signals, just nothing. That wasn't some theory. This was forensic data, pulled directly from the Lexus's internal computer and O'Keefe's phone. And that's where Welcher's testimony started separating speculation from science. We're going to get into all of it today. Excited to hear your comments on this one, whether it be on YouTube, please leave them there, or X, or wherever you're watching us, or if you're listening to us on the podcast platforms, please press subscribe there. And do check us out on YouTube and X and such, so you can watch what we're doing here. We have a lot of great interviews on this show. Just had some great ones today with Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. And he had some very interesting insights on where things are going in this case. And we talked a lot of things from a behavioral standpoint. So watch for those videos and audio cuts here coming up on the podcast and on YouTube. Anyway, getting back to this, and again, comments, I want to hear what you think. Welcher didn't come in throwing accusations. In fact, he couldn't. The judge laid down the rules early that morning. Judge Beverly Cannoni told the courtroom that Welcher could say whether the crash data was consistent with the collision. But he wasn't allowed to outright claim Reed's SUV struck O'Keefe. Basically, he had to show his math, not write the answer on the board, and say, hey, look at this book over here that has the exact same problem with the answer. That's exactly the same as this book over here. Same make, same model. And the answer that you're looking for, it's right. So, yeah. That's what they was allowed to say. Obviously, the jury can see through what that strange way of speak needs to be in legalese. But they went through with it, of course. That's how it works. And exactly what happened? Welcher walked the jury through how Reed's Lexus performed a three-point turn, like she was turning around in the street, and then, just minutes later, stomped the gas in reverse with nearly three-quarters throttle. It's not some light tap to reposition in a driveway. That's pressing the pedal down hard, enough to launch a 2-ton SUV backwards across a small cul-de-sac. And here's where it gets tighter. The vehicle data logs that acceleration. It's there at precisely the same time O'Keefe's phone activity flatlined. Welcher didn't try to dramatize it. He just laid it out, wasn't given a TED talk. He was dropping receipts. And when asked what that meant, he said, as an engineer and a crash expert, the data was consistent with a pedestrian being struck. Not a certainty, but consistent. That's important because everything from that point forward builds onto that timestamp. Now, a neutral question is, okay, but how does that data match up to the injuries that O'Keefe had? Welcher had that covered, too. One of the more compelling moments in this testimony came when he described a demonstration he conducted using a Lexus RX350, identical to Reed's vehicle. He applied blueprint to the taillight, then stood in the path of the SUV, lining up where O'Keefe would have actually been. Welcher is about the same height and weight as O'Keefe, so it wasn't some guess. It was measured, controlled, and as the SUV backed up slowly, it brushed against his forearm. The blue paint transferred onto the back of his arm in the same spot where O'Keefe's had scratches and abrasions. It was visual, simple, and matched the autopsy photos. The defense might scoff at the method, but the takeaway was clear. The taillight made contact in a way that explained those exact injuries. It wasn't random. Welcher made it very clear that he wasn't trying to recreate a full-speed crash. That would have been absurd and probably a liability nightmare, don't you think? This wasn't Mythbusters. He wasn't launching dummies through windshields. The goal wasn't to replicate the speed. It was to demonstrate alignment, contact points, injury zones. And in that context, his controlled test showed that even a light touch from the taillight hit the same area where O'Keefe was bruised and scraped. Exact same spots. Is enough to show that the vehicle and the injuries told the same story. Another piece of the puzzle was O'Keefe's injury pattern. One of the things the defense has tried to lean on the idea that O'Keefe didn't have a broken leg or arm like that and somehow rules out being hit by a car. And they insert Chloe the dog there quite often as well. But Welcher shut down fast. Shut that whole theory down. He referenced a prior case he worked on where a man was hit by a car going 25 miles an hour. The man died of a head injury, but didn't have a single broken bone on his legs. The absence of fractures doesn't mean the impact didn't happen. It just means the force hit differently. In O'Keefe's case, Welcher said the injuries were entirely consistent with being struck and then falling to frozen ground. That matters because the idea of a glancing blow where the vehicle doesn't crush the person but still knocks them down with significant force or launches them into a yard matches what the forensic pathologist found. Skull fractures, brain swelling, abrasions, and lacerations, but no shattered limbs. In other words, the data says impact, and the body says impact. Just not necessarily the Hollywood-style impact the defense wants people to imagine. Then came the taillight itself. According to Reed, her taillight was broken when she backed into another car right outside her garage. Sounds convenient, right? Well, Welcher explained why that doesn't hold up either. The taillight wasn't just cracked, it was shattered, the kind of brake pattern, a fragment distribution you'd expect from a high-force contact, not a fender kiss in a garage or outside. He even walked the jury through the materials involved. Polycarbonate lenses, brittle points of failure, directional force. The takeaway, this wasn't caused by a slow bump in the driveway. It was more likely caused by contact with something or someone outside under dynamic pressure. The Lexus's own crash system hadn't logged any crash data, which the defense probably thought was a golden ticket. But again, Welcher preempted that too. Those black box systems only record when there's a significant force event, typically a crash with another car or a stationary object. A glancing blow to a human being, especially one that doesn't trigger airbags or engage sensors, wouldn't register, and that's exactly what happened here. The absence of the log crash data wasn't evidence that nothing happened. It was evidence that what happened fell outside the threshold of the car's software. That's a nuance that sounds like a loophole unless you understand crash engineering, and Welcher does. The best part? He didn't oversell it. He didn't walk in saying he had all the answers. In fact, he openly said what he couldn't determine, like the exact path of the vehicle after impact. He didn't speculate. He didn't say, this is where the car went, or this is exactly how O'Keefe landed. He said, here's what the data shows. Here's how it matches what we physically see on the body. And here's why that matters. It's the difference between telling a story and reconstructing an event. When you step back and look at the whole picture Welcher painted, it's built entirely on corroborating evidence, digital vehicle data, synchronized phone timestamps, paint transfer experiments, autopsy reports. Nothing he said required you to take a leap of faith or fill in the blanks with assumptions. And that's what made his testimony compelling. He didn't have to point fingers. He just followed the science. Now, of course, not everyone in that courtroom wanted to hear what he had to say, because when the evidence lines up too perfectly, the only way to push back is to go after the person presenting it. And that's exactly where things got headed next. There are court moments designed to inform, and there are court moments designed to distract. Today, Judson Welcher walked into a courtroom armed with data, diagrams, and years of experience in accident reconstruction. The defense, led by Robert Alessi today, walked in with a metaphor about launching a car into outer space. Wasn't a joke. Actually happened. Here's how it started. During cross-examination, Alessi zeroed in on a hypothetical about what might happen if Reed's Lexus struck John O'Keefe in the location where his body was found. Wouldn't the vehicle moving backwards at over 20 miles per hour have continued onto the lawn? Alessi was trying to suggest that if O'Keefe ended up on the roadway, then Reed's vehicle must have followed. So where are the tire marks, right? That's when Welcher, trying to carefully explain the distance or the difference between what is physically possible versus what is probable, he responded like an engineer. He said that, sure, in the realm of pure physics, it's possible the car could have traveled any number of paths after impact. It's possible. He said, it could have shot into space, too. And he clarified immediately that this was an illustration of a concept, not a literal belief. But Alessi seized on that phrasing like a cat with a laser pointer. So you're telling us that this Lexus could have shot into space? And just like that, the conversation about biomechanics and injury zones became a circus about interstellar travel. Truth is, Welcher's comment was a way to stress that engineers don't speak in absolutes. When data doesn't support it, he wasn't guessing. He was refusing to speculate. That distinction, that very refusal to fill in the blanks with assumptions, is something any honest scientist should be doing in court. But Alessi didn't want rigor. He wanted ridicule. The jury saw a seasoned expert trying to explain real-world limitations. The defense tried to turn it into a comedy. But the joke, if there was one, landed awkwardly. And at the end of the day, on the defense. You don't win an argument by pretending an expert is irrational or when he's actually very, very precise. The timeline argument wasn't much better unless he tried to draw attention to a late-stage correction made by Welcher's firm, Aperture. Small timing discrepancy, around 21 to 29 seconds, was corrected just weeks before the trial. According to the defense, this was either suspicious or opportunistic. They suggested that the revised timeline was too convenient, too clean. Like the experts had massaged the numbers to perfectly sync Reed's reverse acceleration with O'Keefe's phone going silent. Welcher never flinched. He explained without drama that the data itself hadn't changed, just the interpretation. Once his colleague discovered that the vehicle's internal clock had a slight drift compared to the phone with O'Keefe, they adjusted the event timestamps accordingly. That's not trickery, that's quality control. It's like realizing your watch is 2 minutes fast and adjusting it before showing up late to a meeting. Not exactly grounds for a conspiracy theory, but hey, in Karen Land, everything's a conspiracy. More importantly, the defense never provided evidence that the correction was inaccurate or dishonest. They just didn't like that the updated timeline made the state's case stronger. But we don't like this data is not the same as disapproving it. And once again, the defense's strategy wasn't to bring their own data to the table. It was to question the existence of data they didn't have a better answer for. Then there was the money. Alessi brought up the $325,000 contract between Aperture and Norfolk County DA's office like it was a smoking gun. He emphasized how much the expert was being paid, how they had even purchased a Lexus RX 350 to run tests. So this wasn't about finding the truth. It was the implication went, this was about something very different. It's about causing and cashing a check and causing a scene. Welcher didn't deny the numbers. Why would he? It's not like they were hidden. He explained how the project expanded in scope, how hours were billed, how the cost of buying and reselling the test vehicle was factored in. He explained it the way any professional consultant in this technical field would. This isn't something that someone's charging for time spent twiddling their thumbs. This is months of physical testing, data analysis in multiple offices in multiple states, vehicle diagnoses, the courtroom prep, all of it. It costs what it does. And this is really, for the amount of work that they did, not crazy. May sound shocking. There you go. There's a good business to get into, kids. Be an expert witness. Seriously, if you're an expert in something that could maybe qualify you for that, not a bad gig. Anyway, the defense was clearly hoping jurors would conflate money with dishonesty, but they never showed that Welcher was paid to reach a specific conclusion. There was no quid pro quo, no bonus for conviction, just a contracted expert doing forensic analysis. The courtroom reaction made it clear that just saying a number out loud doesn't magically discredit the testimony attached to it, especially when the number comes with receipts and reproducible results. Still trying to chip away at the science, Alessi moved to typography. He challenged the Welcher about the 4-inch berm in the yard at 34 Fairview. His question, essentially, was whether a slight elevation difference would throw off Welcher's injury analysis. Welcher's response was calm and clear. Yes, the berm was considered, and no, it didn't invalidate the conclusion. Few inches of grade change might shift the contact point a bit, but it wouldn't undo the physics of a vehicle-pedestrian collision. Again, that's not speculation, that's just how force works. And then came the bones argument. Alessi tried to make the big deal out of the fact that John O'Keefe didn't have broken legs or arms. Welcher had already addressed this, both on direct and again during cross. You don't need shattered limbs to die from being hit by a car. The impact, depending on the angle and the part of the body that takes it, can result in brain trauma without touching the legs. And Welcher had seen it before, even cited a previous case where a man was hit at 25 miles per hour and died of head injuries with no bone fractures at all. The implication that no broken bones means no vehicle impact just is not supported by biomechanics. But it was another swing from the defense to get jurors thinking absolutes. As if being struck by a car always leads to the same checklist of injuries. It doesn't. Still, Alessi didn't stop there. I mean, seriously, he should have stopped a long time ago. He only reinforced this guy's knowledge and opinion. to the jury twice, and probably even stronger the second time around when he's on cross. I don't know what Alessi was thinking, if he thought he'd still hit that golden ticket at some point, but spoiler alert, he doesn't. Still, Alessi continues. He pushed Welcher on why he didn't conclude exactly where the Lexus ended up after the impact. Why didn't the report say if the SUV ended up in the yard or stayed on the road? Welcher answered plainly, because he couldn't know for sure. There wasn't enough data to say definitively, and he wasn't going to guess. It's that same line in the sand. Welcher testifies to what the evidence shows, not what someone wants him to say, but the defense tried to make it appear that restraint looked like a gap, as if not knowing everything somehow meant knowing nothing. That's not how science works. Not knowing the post-impact stopping point doesn't erase what's known about the speed, the injury, or the timestamp. Outside the courtroom, Karen Reed herself chimed in, as expected. She mocked Welcher's experiment with the Lexus, said if he really wanted to recreate that event, he should have backed into a crash dummy at 24 miles an hour. She was sarcastic, dismissive, talking to cameras, not experts, but her critique ignored the actual purpose of the test, because they've all been so valuable so far, those critiques from Karen, which is a way to analyze alignment, not replicate the full force of the impact. No one is backing into an SUV, into a human being, to prove a point in court. And you couldn't really do it with a test dummy in any sort of accurate way either. Welcher never claimed he did. The experiment was about visual alignment and matching contact areas, and it worked. They don't like that it worked, but it worked. The test matched the exact injuries on O'Keefe's arm, and that's what matters. At the end of the day, Welcher didn't bend under pressure. He acknowledged what he didn't know, stood firm on what he did, and never took the bait when the defense tried to goad him into speculation. It's not just a sign of credibility. It's a sign of someone who understands that truth doesn't need theatrics. It just needs to be shown. And in some cases, admitted to. What did you think about the testimony today in the Karen Reed case? Let us know. Let me know in the comments. I'd love to see it. And again, please press subscribe wherever you're listening or watching this so you don't miss any of the coverage we got for you on this and all of the cases that we cover here at the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening. We will talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.